Lucille Beasley is able this morning to stand on holy ground in the Holy of Holies.
Amen.
To worship God with all those who are with Him in heaven. She passed away early this morning. And it's sad because she's gone from us. But at the same time, it's a celebration. It's a time for rejoicing for her. Because she truly did hold on to God's unchanging hand in her life. Everyone I have ever known has done that. It's been Lucille. She has held on to God's unchanging hand. And her journey on this life and this world has ended. But this morning, she gets to celebrate with God, to worship Him on that holy ground in the Holy of Holies. So I want you to know that. And keep her family in your prayers. And just, again, it's just mixed feelings. Because I'm sad that she's gone. But I'm rejoicing for her. Because she's where I want to be.
Amen.
Let's go to God in prayer. Our God and Father, I want to come to you this morning. And Father, just praise you and honor you as God who loves us so much that you have provided a way for us to come back to you. Father, this morning we're saddened at the news that Lucille has passed from this life, but Father, at the same time, we rejoice for her that she is now with you. Father, we pray for her family that is here, that is grieving right now at her loss, and Father, we ask for your grace and your comfort and your mercy for all of them, for all of us, Father. We just pray that you'll hold all of us close to you at this time.
Amen.
Father, again, thank you. Thank you for the blessing of your Son, Jesus, who made it possible. We look forward one day to being able to be where she is, with her and with Mike and with Rick and with so many others who have passed on from our family here. Father, we thank you again. We pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Okay, we started last week in this series of lessons talking about holy ground. Before we actually begin that, two things I want to tell you about. First of all, this evening at 5 o'clock, we'll be having this movie, Steps of Faith. Brian will be showing that here in the auditorium, and we'll have popcorn and all that. Just come out for some fellowship and be able to enjoy this movie. Now, next week, fourth Sunday fellowship, right? Two things are going to be going on. First of all, we're going to have pizza that night. All right? So here's what I need for you to do. If you're going to be here for Fourth Sunday Fellowship next Sunday, I need you by this Wednesday evening. That's the cutoff day. I need you to sign up on the sheet on the bulletin board out in the foyer. I need you to sign up on that so that we know how much pizza that we need to have prepared. All right? So please do that. Let us know that you plan to be here for that. Also, that same time, we're going to be having singing going on. So it's pizza and singing next Sunday evening, the 22nd, 5 o'clock. Now, what we're asking for you to do, those who can, it's not mandatory. If you can help contribute to the cost of the pizzas, $2 a person, $8 maximum per family. Again, that's a voluntary thing. If you want to help with that, then you can do it that way. But we don't want anybody not coming because of the cost of it. So keep that in mind. That's always been our policy.
Everybody's phone's going off. There's an and alert.
There's an and. Is that what's happening?
Yes.
Okay, there's an Amber Alert going on. Okay, so. All right, well, thank you for filling us in with that. I thought we just had phones. All right, that's okay. All right, so those two things happen. We're talking about worship of Almighty God. We're looking at, in this series of lessons, focusing on trying to understand God's holiness. The fact that we are called together to worship God. And so as we're worshiping God, and we gather together like this on the first day of the week, that we're on holy ground. This is holy ground to worship God on. Now, what we're really wanting to look at in this is this whole idea of being in the presence of Almighty God. That's why it's holy ground, because God is here, okay? He's called us to worship Him, and so we gather together in His presence and in His holy ground. Now, the idea behind this is, if we really begin to understand that, really comprehend that we are in on holy ground with God in His presence, how would that change our worship? How would it affect our hearts and our minds as we gather together on the first day of the week to worship Him? What would change? What would change for you, perhaps in your attitude and in your heart about coming to worship? In other words, that perhaps maybe it's this attitude that says, well, it's worship time, I've got to go to church. You see, we were talking about in our Bible class this morning, we mentioned the idea of people talking about, well, I have to versus I get to. I get to come and worship Almighty God in His presence. See, would it cause us, for instance, to be here not just on time, but maybe early? And what would the atmosphere be like if we really understood and comprehended that when we gather here on the first day of the week like this, that we're in God's presence, and this is holy ground? What would it cause us to do differently? See, last week we were talking about taking off our shoes out of respect for God. As God commanded Moses and Joshua to do as they stood on holy ground. What would you be willing to relinquish? What rights would you be willing to give up? Because that's the symbol, as we talked about last week, of taking off your shoes. How would your worship change as we come into the presence of Almighty God? What would and what should our worship look like? How would it be different? In other words, would it be more than just following, as we talked about last week, those five acts of worship, where basically what we do is we come together and we make sure we've got everything covered and we check off the scorecard, kind of an idea, make sure we've done everything that worship requires us to do. Not that those things are not important and that we need to be doing those things as we worship God, but would it be more than just simply following those five acts of worship? You see, our worship has to come from the heart. What would and should it look like? What does entering into God's presence require? We talked about three things last week. It requires a heart of worship, it requires obedience, and it requires a living sacrifice. How would our worship atmosphere change? Say, this morning, as we continue this series of lessons, we want to talk about the great I Am. Okay. Who is He? And what is this great I Am really all about? We go back to the mountain where Moses, we saw him last week, saw the bush that was on fire and yet it wasn't being consumed. And he approached the bush to investigate and find out. And as he did, God called out to Moses and he said, Moses, take off your shoes because the ground that you are standing on is holy ground. God had a conversation that got Moses' attention there on that mountain. You see, God had a purpose for calling Moses to that holy ground. Just like, by the way, He has a purpose for calling you and I to this holy ground. We'll talk about that more in just a few moments. But God had a purpose for calling Moses to that holy ground. He was going to send him on a mission. That mission would involve confronting the Pharaoh, the king of Egypt, in order to free the Israelite people. So in other words, you need to understand, God didn't just call Moses to the holy ground just so that he could be there on the holy ground. God called him there for a purpose. Go back and you look at the life of Moses and how it all began and the things that happened in Moses' life, you begin to realize that Moses, when he stood there on that holy ground, at the burning bush, he was called there for that purpose, and he was prepared to be there by God. Moses, as an infant, was placed in a basket by his mother because The Pharaoh had issued a command that all the newborn baby boys of the Israelites should be thrown into the river and drowned. Because Pharaoh was worried that the Israelites were becoming too numerous. Well, you know, I guess technically you could say that Moses' mother obeyed the command. She did put him in the river, right?
Yeah.
Okay, she just put him in a basket in the river,
yeah.
All right? Okay, so she put him in the river, and just by chance, mind you, just by chance, then Moses was found by Pharaoh's daughter. Just by chance, right? No, not by chance. Not by chance at all. It was by God's providence.
Amen.
That Moses was found by Pharaoh's daughter and raised up in Pharaoh's house.
Amen.
You see, all of those events of Moses' life were to prepare him for that moment, for that meeting of God on that mountain that day. That God would be sending him on a mission, on a task, on a work for his purpose. God said to Moses, I am sending you to Pharaoh to bring my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt. He had told Moses, I've seen and I've heard the misery of my people. I'm sending you. You're going to Pharaoh, in other words, is what he said. Moses didn't want to go. Moses says to the Lord, who am I that I should go unto Pharaoh, that I should bring forth the children of Israel out of Egypt? I'm a nobody. In other words, basically, Moses was saying to God, why are you picking me?
Yeah.
You ever felt that way? You ever felt that way in some of the things that God has told you to do, that He has put you in a particular position to do, and maybe you felt like, I don't really want to do this. Why are you doing this to me, Lord?
Well,
that's kind of where Moses was. Why me? God's response was, I will be with you, which I kind of translate as being this. Moses, you need to realize it's not about you. I think that's what God was telling me. It's not about you, Moses. It's about me and my purpose and my work for you to do.
Yes.
And you and I need to understand that when God calls us to do something for Him, it's not about us. It's
Amen.
About Him. You say, it's not about what you can or can't do, or what you are able or not able to do, or what you know or don't know, or who you know or don't know, or any of those other things. It's all about Him. Because if God has called you to a mission, if God has given you something to do, you better believe and you better know that He has prepared you to do it.
Amen.
Just like He prepared Moses. You see? It's not about you. It's all about Him. And what He has called you to do. God then indicated to Moses, and He says to him, I'm going to give you a sign. So that you will know that it's I who is calling upon you to do this. He says, the sign that I give to you is that when you have brought the people out of Egypt, you will worship God on this mountain. In other words, you're going to come back with the people next time, and you're going to worship me here. Now Moses still has some objections, still trying to figure out how he might get out of this. Okay? And so we come to the point where the name becomes important. Okay? You ever thought about how important names really are? You know, this question, what's in a name? Okay? Well, you realize that not only in Bible times, but even today, names mean something. Okay? They really do. I don't know if you know what your name means, but names mean something. You can go online and you can look up name, meaning of names, and it'll give you meanings of names for any name you can think of. So, for example, I thought this morning I'd share with you some names of some really, really important people in my life. Okay? My grandchildren. First of all is Emma. The name Emma, okay, means whole or complete. All right? Benjamin, We used to call Benjamin, when he was real little, we used to call him Ben Jammin. Okay, that was just his nickname. Ben Jammin, because, you know, he's just a jammer, okay? All right, his name means son of my right hand. That's what his name means. Noah. Now, this is a peculiar one here. If you know Noah, and some of you have seen him going around and everything, his name does not fit this meaning, okay? Because his name means, to get it up here, rest or peace. Okay? Noah doesn't rest at all, okay? That guy is going all the time. But that's what his name means. And then there's Alice. And her name means a noble birth. Of course, you know that comes from, you know, her lineage, right? But here's my point. My point is that names mean something. They meant something to the people of the Bible. They would oftentimes name their children after events or specific ways that God has blessed them or whatever has happened in their life. And so their name meant something. What about God? Okay? Moses says to God there on the mountain, well, okay, suppose I go to Egypt and I tell the Israelites what you told me, and they say, well, what is his name? See how important names were to them? What is his name? What's God's name? Okay? And God introduces himself this way. I love that. I am who I am.
Amen.
That's what God says. Okay? And not only is that my name, but that is the name by which you are to remember me from now on.
Amen.
So when you call upon me, you need to call upon me as the I am. Because that's who I am. I am who I am.
All right.
That is God's name. Okay? The Israelites would come to know him by that name. How do we know that? Well, Jesus, a couple thousand years later,
amen,
would attach his identity to that name.
That's right.
In John chapter 8 and verse 58, here's the text. Mm-hmm. He's having a discussion with some of the teachers of the law. And they say, he says, your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, Jesus says, and he saw it and was glad. Then the Jews said to him, you're not yet 50 years old and you've seen Abraham? And Jesus said to them, most assuredly, I say to you, before Abraham was, I am.
Amen.
Now the text tells us there that they tried to stone Jesus. They tried to kill him. Why? Because he had made himself equal to God.
To God. That's right.
They considered it blasphemy.
Yeah.
That Jesus had used that title, I am. He identified himself with the burning bush. Get that? When Moses was there on the mountain talking to God, he was talking to Jesus.
That's right.
The I am. His name means something. He is the God of the universe.
Amen. Yes.
Jesus would. I'll take that slide out of there. It's a little bit hard to read. You have the other one? Yes, here we go. Jesus would go on in different conversations at different times of his ministry, continue to identify himself as the I am, associated with a lot of different things or ideas. As we see on here, he said, I am the good shepherd. I am the vine. I am the door. I am the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus, over and over and over again, identified himself as God, as the I Am, the one who spoke to Moses on the mountain, the great I Am. Then finally, we need to talk about this part. The realization that you cannot stay on the holy ground. What I mean by that is that, as I mentioned earlier, God had called Moses and also Joshua, we talked about him last week also, God had called each of them to worship on holy ground. But he did not want either of them to stay on that holy ground. He called them there, as I mentioned earlier, to give them a task. For Moses, it was to go to Pharaoh and to free the Israelite people from Egyptian bondage. And for Joshua, he had a wall to knock down. Just a little wall, right? Actually, it was a big wall. But that was Joshua's task. That God had called him, like he had done to Moses, to that holy ground. We mentioned last week that he met the commander of the Lord's army, and the commander said, "Joshua, take off your shoes." Why? Because the ground you are standing on is holy ground. So both men were called to that holy ground to worship God. But not just to worship, but then to go from there to accomplish what God had for them to do. Each one of those men had to take off their shoes in submission to God, had to yield their rights to God in order to be the servant that God wanted them to be. They had to give up themselves for Him. Like we talked about in our Bible class this morning, we were discussing the whole issue of being a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing unto God. In order for us to do that, we have got to submit ourselves to God. We've got to take off our shoes, so to speak, in submission to Him, to give up our rights. Why? Because God has called us to worship Him, has He not?
Yeah.
That's why we're here this morning, to worship God. He's called us together to worship Him. The writer of Hebrews says it this way: "Let us consider how we consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together." Okay? He says, as is the manner of some, but rather exhorting one another, and so much more as you see the day approaching. God wants us, He requires us to gather to worship Him. Don't forsake the assembly is what He's saying. God has called the assembly, that is the church, by the way. In the Greek language, the word for the church is ekklesia. It is the called ones. Okay? That's what the word means. It's the church. And He calls us to assemble, to worship Him. But just like with Moses and Joshua, He does not want us to stay on this holy ground. He's got work for us to do. Jesus, at the end of His time here on this earth, before He returned to the Father, gave each and every one of us a commission. Okay? He commissioned us to do this task. To go and make disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. Look at what He says at the very end. "And surely," here it is again, "I am with you always to the very end of the age." So you see, God has called each and every one of us to share His message with other people, so they too can be saved. He does not send us out alone. Just like He didn't send Moses, and just like He didn't send Joshua out alone. Remember, He said, "I am with you." It's not about you. It's about Him. And God sends you and I out in the same way. From this holy ground, out into our Jerusalem, to share the message of salvation with as many people as we can. And He sends us out, and He is with us as we go. Can't stay here. I don't know about you, but I look forward to coming to worship. I really look forward to gathering with my family here on the first day of the week and being able to have this time to worship Almighty God.
Amen.
I hope that you do too. If you don't really look forward to it right now, if you're in that kind of place where some people find themselves, well, I go, but I don't really get a whole lot out of it. I hope that that will change for you. But I hope also that as you come to worship on this holy ground, that when you leave here, you will realize that God is sending you out from here to accomplish His purpose for you in your life. God has work for every single one of us to do. Worship is great.
Amen.
But we can't stay here. Right? Can't stay here.
Okay.
We all have our Jerusalem that we are responsible to go out and share His word with as many people as we can. You see, we have a God who doesn't just sit up in heaven as a lot of people think. He sits up there on His throne. He's really old and He's gray. He's got long white beard and all those kinds of images that people have of God. And He's just kind of sitting up there until whatever happens is going to happen. No, we have a God who has a purpose. He is a God of purpose. And He is involved in everything that is going on in this world all the time. It is His world. Some things we may not understand. Why does this happen? Why does that happen? But God has a purpose, and He knows and He understands it all. And that's all we need to know. But God is a God of purpose. And here's a question I want you to be thinking about while we sing our invitation song. Okay? I want you to be thinking about this. What has He sent you to do? Has He called you to holy ground to worship Him? And just like Moses and Joshua, He's sending you back out again. What has He got for you to do in your life? Ray has a song that He's chosen for us that we're going to use as an invitation song. And this morning, I'd like for you to think about your purpose in God's life, in God's world. What has He got for you to do? If you don't know, then start praying about that and asking Him to show you, reveal it to you. Okay? Whatever it is that you need to be doing for the Lord, maybe something that, you know, maybe you're reluctant to do, like Moses was. If that's the case, then can find a lot of encouragement right here. We'll do whatever we can to help you to accomplish what God has sent you to do. Maybe somebody here this morning who's not yet giving your life to Christ. You need to understand that your sins are separating you from God, and they will remain that way until you have them removed by the blood of Jesus. The great news is that if that's where you are this morning, then you can become a child of God right now, this morning. You don't have to wait.
That's right.
If you believe that Jesus is the Son of God and you're ready to make Him Lord of your life, so that it becomes not about you anymore, but all about Him, then call upon Him as your Lord. Repent of the sin that is separating you from God and have those sins washed away in the waters of baptism. We've got water ready right behind me. You can do that right now. You're ready to make that commitment. Dale will be in the back to receive anyone who would like to have a private prayer or conversation with him back there, and I'll be right up front to receive anyone who would like to come up here. Let's stand together and sing.
Here.